Well, my dear heart dwellers, here we are again. Wars and rumors of wars and constant, imminent rapture warnings. Dear Jesus, please keep our focus where it should be, that we might be found worthy of being taken when you come for your bride. And yet, don't let us be sloppy, Lord. Let us always keep our lamps lit and ready for you. Amen. Well, dear family, there's so many videos about the rapture occurring very soon, like within a month or two. One video about a dream a young woman had in two parts was brought to my attention. It was a war that would happen on our soil. Very, very realistic, with soldiers and planes and bombs and bullets. And goodness, it seemed very plausible. It felt anointed and even made mention of a draft of former military servicemen that might be put into use. Now, I also wanted to mention that the young woman who had the dreams was given a scripture to look up, and somehow she felt it was anointed when she opened her Bible the two chapters before that scripture that she heard in her head, and I read it. It's Ezekiel 22. And basically, it's all about the deep state and Zionists. Son of man, will you judge her? Will you judge the city of bloodshed? Then confront her with all her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Your city that brings on herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols. You have become guilty because of the blood you have shed, and have become defiled by the idols you have made. You have brought your days to a close, and the end of your years has come. Therefore I will make you an object of scorn to all nations, and a laughingstock to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far away will mock you, and you will be an infamous city full of turmoil. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. And you they have treated father and mother with contempt. And you they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. Wow, this makes me think of human trafficking. You have despised my holy things and desecrated my Sabbath, preventing children from praying in school. And you are slanderers who are bent on shedding blood. The slanderers with the news, constantly slandering Trump, inventing lies against him. And you are those who eat at the mountain shrines and commit lewd acts. Ah, and you are those who dishonor their father's bed. Oh, it's disgusting. In you, one man commits a detestable offense with his neighbor's wife. Another shamefully defiles his daughter-in-law, and another violates his sister, his own father's daughter. And you are people who accept bribes to shed blood. You take interest and make a profit from the poor. You extort unjust gain from your neighbors. Yeah, like you have to pay me to play whatever I said. And you've forgotten me, declares the sovereign Lord. And I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you've made and at the blood you've shed in your midst. Will your courage endure, or your hands be strong in the day I deal with you? The Lord has spoken. And I will do it. I will disperse you among the nations and scatter you through the countries, and I will put an end to your uncleanness. When you have been defiled in the eyes of the nations, you will know that I am the Lord. Ah, well, that certainly is the deep state, and that certainly is what's going on right now. These detestable things are being exposed. So even though this was interpreted for having to do with America, I don't believe it has to do with our nation. I think it has to do with the deep state nation, which is a whole other entity. And the way the dream was presented to her felt urgent, and so she posted it immediately. I was asked to comment on this, and again, it brought up the issues of the rapture being imminent. Oh, how I wish that were true. And I do hope I'm wrong. But the Lord has not talked to me about changing anything. His main focus is on praying the corruption out of America and the world, and backing President Trump in all his efforts, as well as praying for his safety. Personally, I feel that rapture dreams are wonderful, especially the ones from God, and I tend to believe that hers was from the Lord. But why are people getting these urgent feelings when the Lord has told us different? Well, very simply, I believe we must always be on the alert, but also stick to what we really believe in God's timetable, so we do not go astray and waste what little time we have here. When we share these dreams with family members who are unsaved, well, they either laugh us to scorn because they've heard it so many times before and nothing happened, or they get quickened to pay attention so they're not left behind. So it's a difficult thing to calculate. I don't think that these rapture dreams should ever stop. I think they do play an important part in keeping this dream alive and also keeping us on the alert. However, on our channel, I've heard countless stories of people who have sat by idly, postponing school, postponing honing their gifts for the Lord, because they were convinced there was no more time left. This is exactly where we were at 5 years ago, when the Lord told me time was up, and I really believed it. And you know what? Time was up. But we prayed and got more time, more grace, and more mercy. Now thousands of Muslims around the world are being saved and added to the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. I asked the Lord, how do I approach this Jesus? And he answered me, state clearly what I have told you. And yes, do ask that question. I had a question in my mind. What have you gotten done in the 5 years you've postponed your life waiting for the rapture? Oof. So in other words, the people who were persecuting our channel for saying that the rapture had been delayed 3 years, and every day they're waiting for the rapture to come, what have they gotten done? What did you do with your gifts? How have you served the Lord? And then the Lord continued, yes, I do want you to speak up about this, Claire. We are at the same exact point now that we were at 5 years ago, and there is still too much to do. I wish for my prophets to have a wider world view and to understand that salvation is taking place right now in the thousands, because people are out laboring in the fields, placing 10 people side by side, same age, same commitment level to me, same education and cultural economic background, and present them with this message. Line them up in a row and declare, the rapture is imminent. Now stand back and watch what they do. You'll see that 9 will react in fear and begin building their shelters, laying up food, warning their relatives, and so on. You will see 1 walk away and go into the mission field or ministry to help with the harvest of souls. Now place 10 more people, more or less of equal value and commitment, and tell them, the rapture is postponed 4 to 6 years. Watch what they do. 1 will go home saying, cool, and play their video games, thinking they have all the time in the world. 6 will begin to question, Lord, since we have that much time left, what can I do for you? And 3 will go into accelerated drive and put their dreams for my kingdom as their only priority in life. I tell you the truth, these continual rapture warnings, if not presented properly, drive people into fear and self-preservation, which causes them to abandon their dreams and gifts in favor of taking care of loved ones who will not be taken. Speaking mathematically, 1 out of 10 will launch forward to bring more into the kingdom. The other 9 will turn inward to their own families and prepare. Now, I want to take an aside here. He brought up a very good point. The first point that he brought up was that these rapture warnings drive people into fear. And we know immediately that fear is not of God, right? Anytime you have a dream that causes you to be afraid, you need to suspect the source, because the Lord does not give us dreams that cause fear. Conviction, yes. Warning, yes. And I'm not saying that her dream is not from the Lord, not at all, because I do think it's anointed. What I'm saying is that watch the reaction that people have on the presentation of the dream. And if they swing into fear, they're going to turn inward. It's self-preservation. It's probably the most basic, primal reaction to anything is to preserve oneself. And most people are going to react that way. Uh-oh, what can I get going here? What do I need to do? How can I protect my children? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's just human nature in the raw, the flesh. The last thing a person's going to think about is striking out, going out into the mission field and helping other people come to the Lord. Most people are just not going to be thinking that broadly. The Lord continued, "It's difficult to maintain a balance here. I want people to know that the rapture is within their lifetimes and soon, but I do not want them to think that their time is up. They can't start any works for me. They don't need to finish school, etc. This is self-defeating and lessens the number in the harvest at these end times. What I do want is everyone swinging into action, using the gifts they have as they are given opportunity, and as with you, Claire, honing your skills. Do you see how self-defeating urgent warnings can be? Those waiting for the rapture will not be busy about my business when I come, and they may very well be left behind. Those working hard while they still have time will be rewarded with a flight to heaven. There are many rooftop sitters who will go through the great tribulation because they were not clothed for the wedding feast, and there was no oil in their lamps because they were living for themselves. This is the great danger here. Lord, so how do we proceed? Well, just as I have taught you, you have very little time left, but enough to do what's been assigned, and even cultivate new talents and put them to work to save souls. The Muslim nations are crying out for truth. They are disenchanted because of ISIS. They have serious doubts and concerns about what the Quran teaches. And some even wonder if the Christian's God is the one true God. But there's no Christian there to tell them because they're all at home working on their shelters and trying to get their families prepared. I have told you what qualifies a soul for the rapture. It can be summed up in one sentence. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your strength, and love your brother as yourself. In other words, think as I think. Comfort the poor, the lost, the sick with my comfort, my words and prayers, and live for others, not for yourself. Then you will resemble me when I return, and I will recognize you as my bride immediately. Do you see? The affluent, self-preoccupied Christians will be nowhere in sight because they're at home serving themselves. But those who are out and about expending themselves for others, those I will see and take immediately. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're affluent, you'll be left behind. What he's trying to say is that if you are affluent and self-serving, then you may very well be left behind. You can be affluent and serve others. There's nothing stopping us. And a word to warn you about these, he continued. Those who have built up edifices and international ministries based purely on their love for their brother, I will take. Those who have built up edifices and international ministries based on the dollar and their fame will be left behind. Many in that day will say to me, "But I prophesied in your name, Lord. I healed the sick. I cleansed the leper." And I will answer them, "Depart from me, you evildoers. I do not know you." Why? Because they were serving themselves and making empires out of their ministries. And yes, they oppressed the smaller ministries who tried to take their words and share them around the world. Even as you have experienced lately, Claire. Do you understand this is an abomination to me? What he's talking about here is that a very prominent ministry, whom I had lifted a section of video from one of their video presentations, and I had put it on my channel, of course, crediting them. When they found it, they gave me a strike against my channel. And strikes are serious. You get three of them and you're banned from YouTube, period. So, you know, I would have expected this from a Satanist, but from a minister? I was really devastated. I don't mind telling you, it hurt me bad. I walked around for 2 days with a hole in my gut. I just couldn't believe that a minister would do that to another ministry. Of course, the video came down, but you know, they could have asked me. They could have said, you know, we really don't approve of you using this material, which I think is still wrong, but I would have at least honored their request and taken it down. And the Lord goes into this at greater depth here. He said, yes, even as you have experienced lately, Claire, do you understand this is an abomination to me? You were given a strike on YouTube by one of these ministries that could have endangered all your videos on YouTube. You know, what he's talking about here is 1,000 videos, and one video happened to be something that someone had said, and I was accused of using their name to attract viewers to my channel. Oh my gosh. He continued, why? Because you did not get their permission to share my words. This is a travesty. Wow, did you get that? You did not get their permission to share my words. This is a travesty. When I anoint a minister, his words are no longer his. They belong to my Holy Spirit. This is simony, selling the anointing, and it is detestable to me. These men and women do not need an income from my words. They are already quite wealthy from donations. Why do they want to control my words to them? Are they not mine to be shared without cost or restriction? But they're blinded by the god of this world, money and corporate procedures, which are fine for Caesar's palace, but an abomination in the house of God. They are the temple of the living God. Oh, Claire, so much will be exposed at the rapture when these massive ministries are left behind in weeping and gnashing of teeth because they did not do my will. They harnessed my word for filthy lucre. It will indeed be a sad day when their shame is exposed. I love every one of them dearly, but when they are ruthlessly persecuting my little ministers who hear my voice and their messages and want to pass that on to their little circle, and they take legal action against them, oh, my heart is grieved. They are blind and do not see what they're doing. Oh, pray that their blindness will be healed, and they will see and understand and repent before it's too late for them. What shall I say to the members of their ministries left behind? What shall I say? You have been ministers of the dollar, not of the word. Freely I gave, freely you were to give, but you did not. In your greed, you withheld my words from the little ones who could do you no harm and do me only good, great good, by repeating what was imparted from heaven. It will be a very sad day for the angels in heaven at that time, because they ministered in your services and conferences, and so many you touched will be with me because they were not corrupted by your practice. Yes, your teachings were fine, but the way you lived your lives, oppressing others and controlling the words inspired by me, that was an abomination not to be taught to anyone. And you may thank me that so few know of your sin, otherwise they too would have followed your example. That indeed is what I will say to them in the secret place when they come to be with me. Uh-oh, I said, oh Lord, I need to change the copyright information on all my books. They put standard copyrights in them. And I thought I'd told everyone putting books together that they were to be free to copy or distribute it at no charge without my permission. I don't know how that happened. And that's basically it. You're welcome to use my music, my writings, my teachings, anything the Lord has given me to share with you. freely. Use it freely. Just don't charge money for it. That's my only stipulation. You can copy it, reproduce it, store it, and do whatever you want, but don't charge money for it, please. If you have to distribute it and you have to have the money to put it into print, that's a different story. I mean, we all need to have the money to put things into print. And when I'm selling things on Amazon, I'm only doing it for the exposure. If you write to me and you ask me for a book, I'm going to send it to you for free. And you can get free downloads on our website. But on Amazon, in order to have that distribution throughout the world, I have to do that. And the same with iTunes as well. You can still get that music for free off my website, or even my videos you can download. No problem. Use ClipGrab. Anyway, the Lord continued. He said, "This is something you need to address in the future, Claire. You must be very careful. Though you have publicly stated that and put free downloads on your website, you still need to explicitly say that they are free to use without charging any money or obtaining your permission. You see, they already have my permission to copy what I've given you. What you have shared stopped belonging to you when you gave your life to me. Now all that you do is free to the whole world, because it came from my heart going to their heart. Please see to it that is corrected." "I will, Lord. I'm so sorry." "Well, I did not wish to beat anyone here," Jesus continued, "but I wanted to call your attention to a worldly practice that hurts others. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." That's Isaiah 55:1.